you know, next slide for you, it talks about the ability of project manager to timely influence the team members will help him to overcome the critical situations. He can achieve this by active and effective listening as a skill. Now, I'll talk about listening as well. Considering various perspectives, gathering relevant and critical information, and then convincing the stakeholders with clearly articulated point and positions to reach an agreement without any breach of mutual trust. Because if the moment you lose the trust of your stakeholders, your project is going to go and fizz out, all right? So one of the words it's kind of talking about is listening skills. By the way, I really understand that by listening to this entire video series of project management, you do have a good listening skills. But listening skills is, how I define it, is very simple listening, very simple way of doing it. As a project manager, if you're talking to somebody and there's somebody who's, you know, the third person is coming in, ask the person to hold and wait. Please pay complete attention to what people are saying. When I say complete attention, what do you mean? While talking, it's possible when the other person is talking, he's talking long sentences, you drift away from the topic. Do tell the other person to come back. Tell him that I've lost the thought. Can you please talk about it? It will feel great. You will feel great about it if it is done with you, isn't it? So, always stop people if you've lost a thought. Ask them to talk again. They will be very happy to do it. The second important thing is, while listening, do not listen to complete or argue or to prove yourself correct. Listen to people to understand. So rather than while listening to people, you forming your own thoughts is not going to help you. Rather than empty your glass, listen to what the other person is saying with complete attention so that you can understand. You will never listen to reply. If this one skill is what you try to incur in yourself right at the beginning, you will find that you are making yourself a great project manager and tomorrow a great leader. So listening, do not listen to reply. Listen to understand. Very, very integral part of a project manager. Because if you listen, you get information. Few of the information could be correct, few would be raw, few would not be correct, but you get information, and that's more required for you to take decisions, because it helps you in decision making process as well. Right? Thank you. So let's look at what we're talking about in this. Effective decision making will not only achieve and maintain a time schedule, but also will provide an edge for managing the risk in spite of adverse environmental factors. Few more things on managing the communication part of it. From human resource, we're moving on to communication. So there are four words which are written here right at the end, and it says accurate, precise, as well received and understood by the receiver. So what do I mean by communication ideally? It is simple. It has to be accurate. It has to be precise or specific. It has to be received by the person that you are communicating, and of course it has to be understood by the person. It's a sub part of listening, isn't it? So listening is a part of communication. So if I don't understand what, or rather you don't understand what I'm talking, then I'm not communicating effectively. So ideally, if I want to communicate effectively, I need to tell you what is the meaning of what I want to say, rather than moving around all the things and then trying to give you everything in a goody-goody way. So be very precise, be very accurate when you're talking to people. Construct your statements correctly and ensure that the person is understood. How do you do that? You ask questions to people. So did you get what I'm saying is one of the type, or you might say, all right, can you just paraphrase what you've heard about it? So this is how you can actually understand whether the other person is understood or not. So that's a method of communication that I would want you to go understand. The communication management also shall provide opportunities for stakeholders to generate requests for required information, clarification, and discussion. The role of each stakeholder is very important for effective and efficient communication. Since each one of them is generating, sending, receiving, utilizing, and responding to the project information, the project managers has an additional role to facilitate the identify any barrier, change required, and get the approval for revision and corrective actions along the implementation for the same. So as a project manager, you'll have a little more role because you are driving the team. So you will generally have a little more role of facilitating the entire information. So what's communication model? Sender and receiver model, that's what is spoken about, should include feedback loop to provide opportunities for interaction, participation, and remove barriers of communication. Choice of media. Do I have face-to-face every time? Do I have a telecall? Do I have a video conference? Do I have emails? So you've got to validate what meeting, what conflict, what information will go in what format. Let's look at this. Writing style should be appropriate. Use versus, passive voices, sentence structures, and word choices are very, very critical. Meeting management are explained earlier, but to put it across, presenting. How are you presenting? How are you standing while you're presenting your thought process becomes an integral aspect when you're talking to any stakeholders. What is your body language? Are you more positive about it? Are you thoughtful about it? Or you yourself are worried or are anxious about it? It's very important. Facilitate. Let people come out with questions. Let people have issues in understanding. Let it be a process and a journey rather than being directive. Why? The more you get facilitative, the more you will find self-consensus happening with people rather than you putting in thoughts. Third is, of course, active listening with an intention of acknowledging, clarifying, and confirming understanding shall remove the barriers that are adversely affect of comprehension. So, in simple statements, what I told you is listen to understand rather than listening to reply. All right? And every time, trust you me, every time you listen to reply, you will never able to resolve a conflict or communicate effectively. If you are able to listen to understand, you will always be able to resolve a conflict and be a better communicator everywhere. Managing the communication, I'll read through the slide. The communication management plan works, performance report, organizational culture, PMIS, organizational policies, guidelines, procedures, and templates will form a platform, foundation of communication. The communication technology, communication model, and communication method, elaborated in chapter number 10, selected as per communication management plan shall be tested for its sustainability of communication in the execution phase. All the stakeholders must be aware and trained for the use of planned communication system for achieving effective and efficient communication. Any potential barrier, challenges for the effective and efficient flow of communication shall be identified and corrected immediately. Performance reporting is a key function of communication, and it includes collective or disturbing information, including status reports, progress measurements, your forecasting reports, forecasting performance reports should all be taken at all levels of your project as per the requirements. Initiating, conducting, and closing of procurement and managing procurement. Procurement is a process which involves number of internal as well as external stakeholders, and hence managing, ensuring the coordination between all of them is a challenging task to the authorized procurement officer. Now, these are gentlemen or ladies who actually source out a lot of information for the organization. So they play a very, very important role. They are the key cost savers of the organization, key cost savers of any organization. So procurement plays a very important role. Let's assume if I want to say manufacture a car, what do I require? I require steel. Let's take an example. I require steel to manufacture a car. How big role is the procurement manager playing there? He has to source out the steel that is best suited for that product across the globe and still get a better cost for his organization. So that's an important role, right? Now, unless you don't procure that, how are you going to manufacture it? So a very critical role of a procurement manager is to procure right material, right time, and good cost. Is that what a procurement manager's job is? And hence, he needs to license with finance, he needs to license with the quality team, he needs to license with the manufacturing team, he needs to license with the assembly team, he needs to understand the complete requirement from all the departments or the stakeholders of that steel, and then go and procure it. So that's a tough job. And hence, project managers have to be very clear with the procurement manager or the procurement team of what kind of resources or material that they are looking at. So we'll go back to the slide, and the slide talks about the procurement is a process that which involves number of internal as well as external stakeholders, and hence managing and ensuring the coordination between all of them is a challenging task to an authorized procurement officer. Project manager's proactive role is to essentially ensure coordination between all the stakeholders for managing the procurement action. The procurement process normally starts with an indent raised for procurement and then follow the path of inquiry, vendor, supplier proposals, negotiations, selection vendor, supplier, contract awarded, delivery period, receipt of the material, end of the successful closing. So it begins from an indent, it begins from a request for acquisition, RAF, it's called as RAQ, it's called RAF. So request is put in, and from request is put in, indenting is done. Indenting then leads to finding out the vendor if it is not available. Then finding out the vendor comes with the different proposals. So we'll have many. So generally, organizations work with best three or best five. So they will have best three proposals. From that best three proposals, a negotiation happens. From that negotiation, a contract is awarded. Moment the contract is awarded, you will find that the individual is now delivering the contract. Once he has delivered the contract, he will then now move on to submitting that material to you, and then the end note would come in, and then the money would be released. While, of course, money can also be released in advances or in part payments. So that's a procurement job, ideally. So if you look at it, quality, cost, and delivery are the key requirements of procurement and inherently built in the organization policies, guidelines, and procedures. Consolidation of requirements and standard rate contracts will avoid the repetitive activities such as inquiry, vendor response, and negotiation. So if you have set vendors with you, if you already negotiated, it saves a lot of time. And hence, procurement job is very, very proactive in nature to ensure that the delivery time, the manufacturing time, the lag is not created in the entire project. So hence, it is very, very important that during your phase wise you give critical information when you require material to your procurement managers. Technical specifications of the intended material service is the key element of managing procurement, and hence the same must be very clear, precise, and unambiguous as aligned to the technical requirement of project deliverables, both in quality descriptions and quantity in descriptions. So we talk a little more on what managing procurement is. If you remember in the earlier slide, I spoke about RFQ. So this is RFQ if you look at it. So procurement management plan, procurement document is called also called as RFQ. It's called requisition forward for. So we have project documents, organizational procurement policies. You have guidelines, you have procedures, vendor supply proposals are the inputs of procurement. So procurement statement of work, PSW, is also an RQF. RFQ. So this document is critical component of procurement process and can be revised until it is finally agreed by the concerned stakeholders. So unless the stakeholders are convinced with what kind of a material you require, it doesn't go to the supplier ahead. So what are the specifications and the statements should have? It should have specifications of what is required, the minimum part of it, the quantity, the quality, which is the acceptable criteria by the quality team that has been given, performance data of that material. If it's a machine, I need to know how it's performed in past. Delivery work or location, where it should be delivered, at my site, at my office, where it should be delivered. Delivery of packing and transportation requirements and other project specific requirements. It is always that ensure that the statement of work is endorsed for an agreement by signature by all the stakeholders. Let's look at a little more in managing procurement. I'm going to read through the slide. We've already done this, but you'll understand once I read it. Periodic review of procurement in presence of stakeholders and in context with the project status will always be beneficial to avoid conflict. Align the procurement status with future revised target plans, or revise the other plans to align with procurement without affecting the final report status, project status. Such review will provide inputs for financial plans and fund requirements. Minutes of such reviews shall be recorded and circulated to all concerned and added to performance work data. The terms and conditions of closing termination must be specifically mentioned in the contract document. No procurement will be closed until it is received at the place of delivery accepted by the quality control manager. The closing of procurement for commercial aspects should be done as separate exercise to avoid litigation at later stage by authorized procurement officer. The delay, if shall, be recorded and intimated to all the people that are involved into that activity. Early termination of contract is a special case of procurement closure, shall be exercised as per terms and conditions mentioned in the contract. So mutual agreement of both parties, or from default one party, for convenience of the buyer if provided for the contract. These are different ways of how you can get the termination. So mutual agreement by both parties could be let me give you a very simple example. Say I'm renting a house. I'm renting a house to stay somewhere. It's a 1 BHK, and the owner and I decide that, okay, both the parties have to tell each other 2 months in advance when you're going to leave. If you don't tell 2 months in advance, then of course you have to refund some money, or maybe you'll extend for 2 months. Now that's a mutual agreement of both parties. So you got to realize that. The other is from default of one party. What does it mean? Say a commercial lease. A commercial lease will have a default thing. You have to have a 3 years contract signed in. So that's a minimum, bare minimum that the buyer is asking for from the seller. So that's how it is. And for convenience of the buyer, if provided for the contract. So it's maybe it's a unique thing. You just need to require a house for 1 month, or a commercial property for 1 month. So that's based on the convenience of the buyer seller. If you look at quality assurance requirement, quality assurance and quality control activities are the complementary to each other. Quality assurance deals with means and measures used to build confidence that quality control procedures with these means and measures will deliver the planned activity quality measurements and performance parameters. So what is quality? So rather than going through the slide, I'll explain you in a very simple and short way. Quality assurance decides this is to be done as the quality of the product. Quality control gets into day-to-day activities to ensure that it is happening that way. So that's the difference. So quality assurance will set up the benchmarks based on the study that they have, and quality control on day-to-day basis will ensure that it is happening in that format. And that's how quality control and quality assurance is done. There are various methods. We will go through those methods as well. The same will be incorporated and used in routine manufacturing methods until there is a revision in the quality measurement performance parameters. All right, so we're talking about quality assurance, and I gave you an example of what is quality assurance and what is quality control. So reading through the slide, we will have the quality assurance process will provide an umbrella to continue process improvement, which is an iterative means of improving the quality of the processes. Continuous process improvement reduces waste, eliminates non-value adding activities. This in turn allows the process of operate at higher level of efficiency and effectiveness. Now, if you remember one of the projects that I told you about, saving paper, saving stationery at the office, is a continuous process. Now, that's quality management plan, quality improvement plans, quality measurement parameters. Accepted norms, results of quality control measurement, and the relevant project documents are basis for executing quality assurance processes. There's an example out here. Let's look at the example. For example, consider a project for manufacturing a boiler in which shell welding and tube welding activities are involved with leak-proof requirement. In this case, it is essential to develop a welding procedure for the weld joints and qualify the same before it's used. It may call for a fixture to facilitate the repetitive circular tube joints. Considering the higher numbers, the qualified welding procedures as per specified standards and the circular welding fixture are the quality assurance means provided in case of the case to ensure the leak proof weld joints of a final output is required. So, what is this all about, and why this heavy example? This heavy example is nothing but a car AC or the air condition that you and I experience every day. So it has to be leak proof. If it is not leak proof, if all the joints are not leak proof, if all the entire pipes that have been created are not leak proof, it's not going to be helping anybody. So ideally, if we got to look at it at a methodology that will help us to ensure that the quality is better. That takes us to the next part of it, and what it says is variable analytical and statistical tools such as one of listed below are used to define quality assurance. That's called as affinity diagram, used to generate ideas that can be linked to form organized patterns of the thought about a problem. So one of them is process design program chart, used to understand the step required to achieve the target and identify the steps that can derail the achievement of the target. The other one is called interrelationship diagram, a process of creative problem solving in moderately complex scenarios with 50 logical intervenings relationship. We're not going deeper into this, but just understand these are the terminologies for it. Tree diagram, it's very similar to a WBS, which has a parent-child relationship. Prioritization matrix used for alternatives and variable identified for key issues. Activity and network diagram is used for scheduling methods such as PERT, which is Program Evaluation Review Technique, or CPM, which is critical path method. And last is, of course, matrix diagram used to perform data analysis within the organization structure. Creates a matrix to indicate the strength of relationship between factors, causes, and objectives. This takes us to the next part of it. What is quality audit? A quality audit is a structured, independent process to determine whether the project activities comply to the organization policies and goals. The quality audits are done in two formats. It's an external audit, which is done by either government agencies. Let's consider I'm a food manufacturer, and my products go across India. Then there's an external audit also. There's internal audit also. So internal audit saves, it's basically the quality assurance team who does that, or a quality control team who does that. But however, quality assurance rather, for a lot of cases, quality assurance does that. And external audits are done by the Food and Drug Administrators. The list of it is given here. Identify all goods, best practices being implemented. Identify all non-confirmatory gaps and shortcomings. Identify good practices introduced or implemented in similar projects in the other organization. Proactively offer assistance to a positive manner to improve implementation of processes to increase the productivity as term effort. Highlight contribution of each audit in the lesson learned data for the organization. The subsequent efforts to be corrected and deficiencies must result in reduced cost of quality and increase in customer acceptance of the project output. Quality audits may be scheduled or may be random and shall be conducted by qualified internal or external auditors. Quality audits can confirm the implementation approved changes requests, including updates, corrective actions, defect repairs, and of course, preventive measures. Let's look at what is process analysis. The process analysis is the change request generated from quality assurance requirement must be expedited for approvals. If my quality assurance team identifies there's a loop there's a small loop that's not been corrected or it's not been implemented correctly, my change process analysis has to be very effective in making the change request efficient, and that's exactly why I require a process analysis term. So process analysis is, you know, there's a certain process of doing things. And if that process is not a correct process, or maybe it's a correct process, however, is not being reflected or making it better, and a quality assurance team detects that, an immediate change is implied in that process. That's what we talk about. So the change request generated for quality assurance requirement must be expedited for approvals, scheduling and implementation by the project manager. The revision update of relevant project documents shall be ensured with planning of training needs and training needs are generated. Responding to risk, we've been talking about responding to risk, and this, I'm not going to dwell much time on this, but yeah, we've already spoken much on this. For to read the paragraph that's written, response to the risk is the direct function of the risk management plan and stakeholder alertness during the project execution. Responding to risks that are identified in the risk register and comparatively easier as compared to unidentified new risk. Since the information such as risk owner, agreed risk responses for the identified risk is available in the risk register. The only requirement is the alertness of a risk owner to respond as planned. So, and a quick example around this, there are accidents that happen in plant. Let's assume there's a fire at a plant. Fire at a plant is possible risk. And that is already known. So there is already a team, which is a rescue team, who should work around it. So now the time here is, the efficiency here is, how quickly is the response team for fire is acting according to the planned activities? How are they evacuating people? How are they ensuring that the material is saved? How are they ensuring that the less damage happens to the plant? Now that is something which is planned. Because why? Because accidents are bound to happen in projects. Maybe projects which are more affirmed to risk like these, like fire. So it's obviously going to be, if you have a plant which is near to sea, or an ocean, a possibility is that there are tsunamis. Possibility is there is a high tide, there is a low tide, and it might cause damages to your plant. So at the end of the day, you are aware that this might happen, so you should be prepared of it. That's what is about risk responding and execution point. Well, it is a little difficult for the execution team for attempting the risk which is not known, of course. But that also is based on some categories of what kind of risk is that. So for dealing with unidentified risk and response such issues, continuous tracking of work during execution is the primary requirement. Which means if you've noticed in a lot of English movies, the Hollywood movies, you have these big screens that are monitoring things continuously, and they immediately peg, okay, this is something that is new coming up, and we've got to respond to it. If you've seen these movies called Air Force One, or you know, some fighter movies, you will always find these kind of things happening there. That's the methodology to identify. So continuous monitoring is the only way you can identify or rather preempt an unidentified risk in your project. This is also input of a periodic risk assessment. Few more to go, of course. On identifying the new changing of potential risk, and the risk owner should immediately send a risk identification report to the manager. So would you say in a fire kind of thing where you're not prepared, you should send a report? Ideally, no. However, he should always intimate it either by email or a verbal conversation that this has happened and these are steps that have been done, so that everybody's alert about what's happening in this. Post that, they got to go back on the documentation and find out real reasons of doing it. And that's exactly what is the risk identification report to the project manager, mentioning the details of risk, anticipated effects of the risk, corrected needs to be handled the risk appropriately. Project manager in turn should discuss the report with the project team and concerned stakeholders and determine the response. The response can be immediate firefighting or long-term corrective preventive actions that can be taken, which are also called as the continuous improvement processes. Periodic risk performance report from the risk owner to the risk manager and also concerned stakeholders will be useful to assess the efficiency and effectiveness. Efficiency and effectiveness are two keywords while you're handling your risk. risk management plan. In the case the situation demands, the risk owner shall be authorized to respond with appropriate under intimation of the project manager. The last sentences play a major role. A risk management risk management becomes more easier with more number of risk handled, but different frequent discussions about the risk will more likely train the stakeholders to identify the risk opportunities. So you got to talk about risk rather than keeping it to yourself as a risk manager or as a project manager. So if you identify a risk, go proactively, talk about this is a possibility that I feel might happen, and what is the next step that we can do around this. Let's look at stakeholder engagement plan when it comes to in the execution mode. Ensuring and managing the stakeholder engagement with the project throughout the project cycle is the primary responsibility of a project manager, of course. The impact and need of this is more prominently felt during the execution phase is because everybody's curious. Everybody wants to know what is happening. And typically the top stakeholders are very curious during the execution phase of how is it happening, because now you've planned, now you've designed, now you're actually going into execution mode. And everybody is more curious because post-execution, what's going to happen is your product or service that's going to come up. So you've got to be very, very crucial to update and engage your stakeholders. So periodic engagement with your stakeholders is very important in the execution phase. So let's look at this. For managing stakeholders engagement efficiently and effectively, the project manager shall communicate and work with the stakeholders to meet these needs, expectations, and address issues as they occur, and foster the appropriate stakeholder engagement in the project activities. The project manager will have an advantage for increasing support and minimizing the resistance, and thereby increasing the probability of accomplishing the project objectives and deliverables. So important is, if you keep engaging, if you keep your manager, if you keep your stakeholders engaged in what you're talking and how it has to happen, it will always be beneficial to you as a project manager. Few of the things. So while managing the stakeholder engagement of the project, manager must get involved himself into. So what are the things that he should get involved into? Engaging stakeholders at appropriate project stages to obtain and confirm their continued commitment towards the success of the project. Of course, we have managing stakeholders' expectations through negotiations and communication, ensuring that project goals are achieved. Addressing potential concerns that may not have become issues, but you have to anticipate that and, you know, keep talking. That's exactly what is an example that I gave you. And clarifying and resolving issues that have been identified. Something more on stakeholder engagement is, managing stakeholder engagement helps increase probability of project success by ensuring that stakeholder clearly understands the project goals, objectives, and its benefits and risks. This enables them to active supporters of the project and to help guide activities of project decisions by anticipating the end user of the reaction of the project. Proactive action can be taken to win support and minimize negative impact. The ability of a stakeholder to influence the project is typically highest during the initial phase and reduces progressively as the project progresses. The project manager is responsible for engaging the stakeholder with the project because at that point in time, maybe he's actually the project stakeholder or the owner is actually looking out for some other project while you're actually executing, and he's got a confidence that it's going to be executed well by you. So active management of stakeholders' involvement reduces the risk of project failure to meet the goals and objectives. The stakeholder management process may generate number of change requests as an output of the process. As an output of discussions, you will have number of the different changes that are coming up, which the execution team might have to take in consideration according to the stakeholder. And mind you, your stakeholders can also be your customers. So if, you know, while they are engaged into it, they might give you some new requirements that are coming up. The approved changes results must be scheduled and implemented as per organizational procedures and project management plan. Implementation of these change requests may call for updating for some of the project documents. The same shall be done and recorded on priority. Some more things about stakeholder management. Stakeholder management plan, communication management, document revised records, communication requirement, organizational procedures such as issue management, change control shall form the basic of stakeholder engagement management process. Appropriate communication methods like interpersonal skills, managing skills, conflict skills, listening skills, effective and efficient implementation and management of stakeholder engagement process is very, very crucial when it comes to managing stakeholders. So there are a few examples that I keep quoting. Building trust. Build trust in your stakeholders. Ensure that they like you, first of all, for what you do. Ensure that they understand the ability, the knowledge that you have. Trust can be only built by three things. You should have a very good approach towards people as whole, great skills about what you're doing, and absolute knowledge of what you're doing. Resolving conflicts, be a little jovial, be a good listener to people, overcome resistance to change. All right, so people would want to stay where they are. You as a project manager will have to drive them and motivate them to do new things. Few examples of management skills can be facilitative consensus towards project objectives. A statement like, if everybody's sitting in a room and that's your team for project, ask everybody, is that okay with everybody that we're going this way? Take consensus so that it helps you to facilitate the project. Negotiate agreements to satisfy people, project needs. So negotiate with people, whether it's vendors, whether it's suppliers, whether it is your internal stakeholders, whether it's your sponsors, whether it's a customer. Ensure that you negotiate well with a win-win attitude towards people and situations so that your project objectives are met. And last but not the least, revise organizational behaviors to accept the project outcomes. If there is a chance that your project organizational statistics have to, or strategies have to be changed to achieve the project objective, might well do it if it's required. Now this takes us to the last slide of this chapter, and I thank you for being with me for such a long time. I will see you in the next chapter, which is again very important, the 12th chapter of project management. Thank you.